If you fart day one, it'll be a lot easier than if you fart day 60, because then you have to have a conversation. But if you fart on that first day and you just laugh at it.
I'm Dan Levitard. That's Katie Nolan.
You're not going to shame me, Dan. I stand by that take.
Bomani Jones. Let's get started.
Fart on date one, ladies.
Did last night prove to you that Big Ben and the Steelers are back?
All right, so the Steelers last year were a bounce from making the playoffs with an apocalypse at quarterback once Ben Roethlisberger went out. And now he returns, and I just feel like Ben Roethlisberger can throw for 500 yards well into his 40s. I also don't trust him to have three touchdowns and no interceptions the way that he did yesterday. To me, the only flaw in Roethlisberger's game right now is that he's going to be reckless with the football. And that game was decided because the guy on the other side, Daniel Jones, threw a couple of interceptions, and one of them was in a spot where you can't throw an interception.
Yeah, but let's give Roethlisberger some credit, because this was the weekend of the old quarterback, right? We did a temperature check on Drew Brees, looking older than we remember. Tom Brady, looking older than we remember. Phillip Rivers, looking exactly like we remember, and then us remembering that he's old. The two oldish quarterbacks who don't look like that, Cam Newton, who kind of counts as an old quarterback right now, and Ben Roethlisberger, who looked kind of like I remembered him. And you made the point. They had terrible quarterbacks last year. If Roethlisberger is even a little bit good, then this changes the way that we look at the Steelers entirely. And shout out to Ben Roethlisberger for his post-game interview, because he did a great job of sounding like the old wise man who's just so happy and so blessed and glad to be playing quarterback again. I mean, he said all those talking points correctly, almost to the point that I nearly forgot that you are Ben Roethlisberger. Cool, I know what you about.
Right, I love that. He started out by shouting at the homie, his Lord and Savior. 28 minutes into the game, I was like, this looks about like what I would expect from a team that hasn't had a guy play this position in almost a year and coming off of elbow surgery. But I think they look really balanced. And more importantly, they were efficient in the red zone, which was a place that they were dead last in the NFL. So I guess you could sort of glean that. Benny Snell looks like he's going to be, you know, a guy they were hoping was at the end of the season. That seems to have carried over, in particular when James Conner is always and consistently hurt. But yeah, like, it was an incredibly balanced attack. He looked like a guy that's going to be a game manager, the same he was before he went out with that season-ending elbow injury.
Yeah, I don't know. Bomani, you said that this is like a different Steelers and we have to look at them differently. I feel like that is their strength, but it could also end up being their downfall, right? Because Ben is going to have to learn to operate in that offense, not as the main star, but to spread the ball around. Because if he's throwing 50 passes in a game, this could get ugly very quickly. And one problem that we saw yesterday was that they lost two offensive linemen, one of which was already subbing in for somebody who is injured. So that's certainly going to be a concern moving forward if it comes to Ben not throwing the ball down the field a million times per game. Also, Benny Snell looks great, but he's going to have to be a workhorse back if they lose James Conner for a significant amount of time. So there's a lot of concerns, but there's also a lot of upside. I think if he can repeat that exact game, the exact game from last night, over again and over again, they can be successful. But not every team, unfortunately, is the Giants.
Yeah, speaking of upside, do the Giants have any? Like, where is the cause for optimism on the Giants that you don't have to make up? Because, look, I'm not even mad at y'all for the way y'all act about Daniel Jones. There's no fun in being miserable. You might as well lie to yourselves and tell yourselves that he's something that he's not. That's cool. But, like, where is the honest point of optimism with the Giants? What has Dave Gettleman done right?
That silence was not our computers freezing. That silence is we had no answers for the question that Bomani just posed.
I do want to give a pity shout out, though, to Saquon Barkley, because he had 15 carries for 6 yards. Mm-hmm. And the last time someone had a worse game, his name was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And that's not the basketball player.
No,
that's an actual player.
Yes, there was a
player. Did you know there was a football player?
Yes, he was a Miami Dolphin, yes. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar sued Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he could not wear his actual last name on the back of his jersey. They had to take Abdul-Jabbar off and just put Abdul. That really happened.
Money moves.
I can't believe that you and me are just musty historians at this point. Yeah. You just
back in our day, young ladies, we had a player. named Cody.
I was hoping Abdul, you guys would break up the Werther's Originals and tell Jabbar. Us stories of old.
Yo, it was. We were all good until you had to say, "Did you know that?" Like, if you had just left it out there, we could have all just kicked it.
He was drafted by the Dolphins. I knew for sure. Dan at least knew who he was.
He was kind of famous for a little while, actually. He was a star at UCLA.
This missed me completely.
How did I miss this grade? Because you were like in the seventh grade, Katie.
Katie, look, listen to me, okay? This is what is true. You were a child and you're allowed to not know that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played in the NFL. But you just came on this show and you broke down significant offensive line injuries. That is not something anyone in the history of this program has done. And that's Mina Kimes territory.
That's a big deal. It's a big deal.
How should we judge this Clippers super team if they lose to the Nuggets tonight?
I sense the sarcasm in super team there. Man, the Miami Heat and the Denver Nuggets are looking to foul up everybody's plans here, because if the Denver Nuggets advance, I think Doc Rivers might actually get fired. That's what kind of failure we'd be talking about there, because they're denying us not only the storylines, the idea that Kawhi Leonard fouled up Laker recruiting plans because he always planned to go to the Clippers so he could dethrone LeBron James himself. If that falls short after he made them trade everyone for Paul George, when he could have made this a very simple postseason simply by joining the Lakers. Kawhi Leonard had that opportunity, chose to go to the Clippers instead. And if this fails, it's going to be a failure on all of them, on Kawhi for how he built it and on Doc Rivers for how he ran it.
Yeah, and really the history for Doc Rivers even before this year would be why he'd get fired. He'd be the only coach, I believe, to have lost three series when up 3-1. But I think, Dan, it would really show that you cannot catch lightning in a bottle twice, because what the Clippers tried to do this year feels a lot like what the Celtics accomplished in 2008, where they basically got rid of their whole team to win right away. And they did that with aging superstars, right, in KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen, who were already in their 30s. They did the same thing with Kawhi and Paul George. Paul George is already there. Why Leonard is flirting with it. But the idea that they would do this, and to your point, spend $65 million this year just to advance one additional round from last year, is a lot different than a Celtics team that won 24 games the year before and had absolutely nothing to lose in going all in.
If the question is, how should we judge them? It doesn't matter how we should judge them. We're going to judge the hell out of them. We're going to be angry. This was a team that was supposed to go far. They were supposed to be this Lakers stopper. It was supposed to be this incredible storyline. And a ragtag group of young kids are really making it difficult for them in a way that I don't think people expected. They don't appear to have an answer for Jokic. And I love watching the Nuggets. I have a Nuggets fan in this household. We are a Nuggets house, and they're very fun to watch. But they are a young team, and they could do this again next year and really turn this into something. Whereas the Clippers, it's like, now or never, you have to do this now. And they sort of just play so great with these flashes of brilliance, and then they just sort of disappear for a little bit. And it's a very strange rhythm that it seems like they can't just maintain. So I'm very interested to see what happens tonight. And like I said, we will judge them if they can't pull it off, unfortunately.
Hold on, let's be simple about this. I don't think there's any mystery about this. Game 7 is win or go home. And for Doc Rivers, it's win or go home and stay there. Like, you can stay in Orlando. I think he still got a crib there. Isn't that where Austin went to high school? Because it'll be a wrap for him. And the reason it'll be a wrap for him is, when does that team ever look like more than the sum of its talent? Like, they have some very, very talented players who do a lot of really incredible one-on-one things. But as a team, when you need to make it more than just the guys that you have, that's the part where they seem to come up short. So, no, if they lose this game, it's going to be a wrap. But to be fair to Doc, one thing we need to consider, as much as I can say that, at the same time, this is a team that in the regular season was depending on getting 19 points a game from Montrezl Harrell. Like, is that something that you reasonably expect to do in the postseason, or reasonably expect in winning a championship? Like, how many teams can you think of that you'd point to a guy like Harrell and say that's the number three guy on a championship team? Because that's what the Clippers are asking for, which means if they're going to get it done with what they got, they need more from the coach, and the coach has not got it done. Meanwhile, it's not just that they lost the last two games. It's that they were up big at halftime in the last two games and gave it away in the second half. And that's what reminds you of what was probably the biggest loss of this Clippers era, that game six that year against Houston, where they were up late. Game six had a chance to put it away, and then they just fell apart. Why does this keep happening to y'all? The players have changed. The coach is not. And if they lose, he's going to pay for it.
For the record, by the way, and I want this stated to everybody who just listened to this, I expect the Clippers to win big tonight, thus rendering totally moot everything that we just said and
giving us
in the next round, we will get Kawhi against LeBron.
I agree.
Look, man, I know they got sold. I know some things have changed, but we have been living too long to be using the phrase, I am sure the Clippers are going to win big, right? We've all lived long enough to know you can't have that kind of faith in that outfit. No.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
I would have broken down crying after making that kick. I mean, like, you're getting fired if you miss it. You might get fired even though you made it, but you're definitely getting fired if you miss it. And good for him. I'm glad that all like ultimately worked out, because it's not like he was just missing kicks. He was missing kicks in one of the best places in the league to kick. He's in Denver. He's at altitude. You break records there.
Do you question if Steven Gostkowski was clutch last night?
All right. So if you stayed up to watch this 16-14 monstrosity, I'm really sorry. You should have gone to work more rested. This had to hurt, but I'm even more sorry if you had Titans -3 and really needed that money, because Gostkowski last night was an embarrassment by his own words. He said after the game, this is a guy with the Patriots. We associate him with making all of these kicks. He's going to miss 3 of them here and an extra point as well. And he was walking around barefoot on the sidelines. And I probably need to tell everybody that he has gone seasons without missing 3 kicks. He's gone several seasons where he's only missed 3 kicks. And last night he missed 3 field goal attempts. Let's look at this.
And of course. Matters.
There was a lot of pressure on that kick, even though it was a chippy. My God, what a terrible night. I would leak confidence if I was in that spot.
I would have broken down crying after making that kick. I mean, like, you're getting fired if you miss it. You might get fired even though you made it, but you're definitely getting fired if you miss it. And good for him. I'm glad that all like ultimately worked out, because it's not like he was just missing kicks. He was missing kicks in one of the best places in the league to kick. He's in Denver. He's at altitude. You break records there. Instead, he was about to break his earning potential.
Yeah, he missed as many kicks, I believe, last night, the 3 field goals and the point after, as he did in his previous 6 seasons. He's coming off hip surgery. He's old enough to remember when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a football player. And, of course, he missed 4 extra points last year alone. So this was bad for him. I think it's ironic that Mike Vrabel calls him meat, because he's about to get cut.
Nice. Ouch. Very nice. Ouch. I'm supposed to come off the back of that?
That's... Ouch. We could just stop there, probably.
Yeah. Look, he's done it, right? I think this was the best you could possibly do. It's like when you lead with your crazy. You lead with all of your bad stuff. And then when a guy is like, man, I might not be interested. Wow. Then you're just like, but also, good thing. And then you just, and then that's what love is, right? Then you get married. So I think he did as best he could. Good for him. I'm glad he's sucking somewhere else.
Do you question if this was the Rams' fault?
Rams? Okay, Ramp. Not Rams. Ramp. Let's see what we have here.
Oh, man.
Oh!
Oh, my God!
Oh,
yeah.
God. That what an interesting question. Was it the Rams' fault? You know what? It was the Rams' fault. That was absolutely the Rams' fault. My God, that guy's got scorched face.
There's a lot of things going on in this video. Aside from the like poor construction of the ramp, like, and why is there a fire? Like, was that supposed to be for increased degree of difficulty so we can show off?
No, hold one's on, freaked hold out.
On. Can we play this again in slow motion? I want you guys to absorb everything here, not just the piece of cardboard. I want you to see, as he falls face first like a mannequin into a roaring fire, how the bicycle also hits him right in the butt to push him deeper into there.
Is that slow motion? Because I'm under the impression that whether that ramp were a piece of cardboard or a piece of plywood, he's not going fast enough to get over the fire anyway.
You know, this is one of those videos like you when you try to get it cleared for a show and you do your like go through your back channels, you realize it's from 1998 Herzog Gavania.
I will tell you who that kid is because I dated him over and over. He's the kid at the party that's like, yeah, I'm not going to make it, but people are going to laugh so hard when I just fall face first into the fire. But the kid doesn't think through that he's then going to have a face full of fire that we're all going to have to deal with. But he got the laugh.
And you're the one that went for that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Katie Combs, the nominees for the Darwin Awards for who she wants to
date.
Yeah,
I'm just there picking pieces of wood out of his face, being like, you did it, honey. You got that laugh. And you looked so good doing it. Now let's get you to a doctor.
Tonight at 6:40 p.m. on ESPN, Game 1, Heat and Celtics.
Yes, so Miami Heat basketball. That's a fun team to watch. That's going to be a fun series to see who goes up against LeBron, perhaps. But let's check in. Jimmy Butler's 31 years old. Kendrick Nunn is wishing him a happy birthday here with some heads in the trophy case. That's Giannis. What's a guy for Warren?
TJ Warren.
Yes, nice. Thank you.
TJ. TJ, Dan. TJ.
I was so close. I got discombobulated. Happy birthday to Jimmy Butler. Although I don't think in the bubble he's doing it happy. He's just doing it snarling and angry and wants to crush everybody.
I'm excited. I'll take it. I'm excited, obviously, for Celtics Heat. It's clearly going to be a heated rivalry here, Dan. I don't know if our friendship will survive. I'm kidding, yes. Because obviously they're both fun to watch, and I'm excited to watch the Celtics win.
How about you, Bomani? Who do you think is going to win here?
I am going with Miami, and I will tell you this. 2020 has been rough on a lot of people, but if somehow the Miami Heat take out the Boston Celtics and LeBron James on the way to a championship, no one will remember 2020 more fondly than Pat Riley. Nobody in this world.
Except maybe Poppy, except my father. Al, how about you? Are you intrigued?
Yeah, and I'm going to go as my pick with the best bubble player.
Where did you get that?
The one that has stolen my heart. And that's TJ Hero. I mean, God, see, look what you did,
see,
Tyler Hero.
I did that.
Damn it,
TJ Hero.
You
wow.
did it.
Canceled. Canceled.
Hold on.
I did.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
TJ Warren.
Wait a minute. In this year, with everything that's going on, with all the initiatives that the NBA is putting forth, with Black Lives Matter on the court and everything else, everything that they try to do just went down the toilet right there.
Hell, come on.
Whenever he hits a big shot, I like to, you know, pull out, I need a hero, or go Enrique Iglesias, Mariah Carey.
Elle, you don't have to explain yourself, okay? It's not on black women to do everything.
Made it so much worse.
She doesn't have to be perfect. Let her love who she loves.
Tonight at 8:10 p.m., Twins and White Sox.
All right, you guys want to see some Eloy Jimenez. He we checked in with him, he ended up in the netting.
No.
Not good.
Field.
Oh, no. Under the wall.
Ground rule double. It's not a ground rule double. Aloy, it's not stuck, Aloy. No, you don't get to decide that, Aloy.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just because you said it. Yeah, that's an inside the park. What is that? Is that an inside the park home run, or is that a ground rule double? What does that end
up? Ground rule double.
Oh, well, that's an error. No, that's got to be. No, is that an error? A home
run by rule. That is wild. That is wild.
Wow.
They rewarded that?
What rule is that?
Yes, he was right. Aloy was right. Upon review, Aloy, look at us. We were ready to pounce on Aloy. We were going to make fun of Aloy, and he turns out to be right after review. We look like fools. Bomani, are you intrigued?
Not really, and I don't know who that Buxton dude was, but I bet he was salty after he did all that running and then had to go back to second base, right? Like, all because we didn't think that Eloy knew the ground rules at his own home stadium. That's how little faith we have in him. We don't think he knows the rules in the place where he plays.
Well, it was that whole thing with the netting before, I think, is the reason we underestimate him. Elle, are you intrigued?
I think the reason it's a very Eli move is, like, usually you at least try to reach and see if it's stuck before you just put your hands up that it's a ground rule double. I am, because I've told you before on this very show last week that Eloy Jimenez is the worst left fielder in all of baseball. You wouldn't believe me. Now there's more evidence.
I love that you are committed to having the sign. I saw the envy. She feels nude. I see that
it's
Katie
not,
feels
I'm
nude.
I'm like, I'm looking around for something to hold up.
Are you intrigued?
I'm very intrigued. C. I'm very intrigued. Look, when you train a dog, you become very aware of behavioral patterns. And I know dogs and humans are not the same, obviously, but there are similarities. And when you give that guy a call like that, you're basically telling him, yeah, just give up on the ball and throw your hands in the air, and you're going to get that call. So I feel like there's going to be a time in the future where he tries that again, and it's an inside the park home run. And that's going to be no one's fault but that first umps.
Yeah, I just want to note that you've been calling me and Dan old all show long. You just broke out a bottle of Centrum, where the only advertisements I've ever seen for Centrum are on The Price is Right.
I have never called Dan or you old once this whole show. I've actually defended Dan when he was called old because he didn't have his glasses. And I'll have you know, these vitamins very clearly are men's and not mine.
Ooh. Okay. Okay.
There's a boy
so there's
here.
An old man. There's an old man in your house.
I got an old man in my house.
All right, we're all done here. Katie Nolan, the podcast is sports. Bomani Jones, the podcast is The Right Time with Bomani Jones. And L. Duncan, 7 a.m. SportsCenter. Finder, it's fun.
7 a.m. I was about to say, you have a lot of random stuff.
That's a lot of stuff to have on deck.
You know what else I have that's important?
Ladies and gentlemen, Katie Nolan, prop comic.
You never know when you're going to need them. Some tack glasses.
Katie's Carrot Top.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Early in quarantine, we saw a commercial for tactical glasses that took itself very seriously. And the relationship I'm in, we both looked at each other and we're like, we have to get those. So we got them.
I can't believe you actually bought those.
They do absolutely nothing. They bring nothing to the table, but I wear them when I play Call of Duty, and I'm just saying.